Hello and welcome again to RTFM, an IT-fueled Sidewinder brought to you by SciTech World Superpower, The Register. I'm Claire Swires. And later in the programme, Chad Buckheimer will be on the streets to get your reaction to Tony Blair's impending and doubtless tearful exit from 10 Downing Street after 10 years at the helm of HMS Great Britain. But first, an RTFM commemorative special. 25 years after the ill-fated Argentine invasion of the Falkland Islands, that far-flung outpost of empire remains as resolutely British as chicken tikka masala and doner kebab. Those of you old enough to remember with fondness the launch of the Sinclair ZX Spectrum will recall those fun-filled days of 1982 as our plucky lads battled the odds to eject the Argentinians from the oil-rich Malvinas, securing once and for all full British citizenship for the island's grateful inhabitants. Final victory was not, however, assured, as the task force set forth from Portsmouth atop a wave of patriotism and to the cry of "Don't cry for me, Argentina." Indeed, our boys lacked many of the modern technological advances which have proved so effective in subduing Iraq and Afghanistan, and without which modern battlefield commanders consider war an altogether too risky business. Accordingly, we invite listeners to imagine how much smoother things might have run for British forces had they been equipped with every advantage available to the modern soldier.
Gentlemen, I'm sure you're all aware why I've called you here this morning. As I speak, the Argentine standard flies over the Falkland Islands. While I admit I was initially horrified to discover that a South American dictatorship was able to occupy with impunity British sovereign territory close to the Shetlands, I'm obliged to military intelligence for informing me that they actually lie in a strategically vital area of the South Atlantic. Well, I don't need to tell you I'm spitting feathers. I've ordered the immediate liberation of the islands. Mr. Knott, what's the Argentine order of battle?
Prime Minister, the occupying force is made up of around 10,000 barefoot conscript sons of the Pampas, a couple of units of special forces, around 20 American mercenaries recruited through Soldier of Fortune magazine on the promise of $100 a day plus as much bud as they can drink, and a regimental mascot, Pedro, a.k.a. Pedro the Devil Donkey, for his alleged participation in the torture of political prisoners in the Naval Mechanics School in Buenos Aires.
I take it you're confident that British land forces can eject this rebel from the Falklands?
Yes, given adequate transportation and air support, although I'm a tad concerned about our ship's ability to counter the Argentine Exocet missile threat. Their air force seem a pretty determined bunch of chaps.
Gentlemen, I have some good news. Following intense diplomatic efforts, mostly involving me reminding the Americans that we were their chums long before the Argentinians joined the US's international crusade against godless communism, our transatlantic allies have agreed to supply us with the very latest computer technology, which I believe will bring this sorry affair to a swift and satisfactory conclusion. In the meantime, and while we assemble the task force, we need to show these people we mean business. Over to you, Air Vice Marshal.
Yes. Well, I've drafted a rather splendid plan to bomb Port Stanley Airfield using a couple of Vulcan bombers. Yeah, give the enemy an old school fright, that sort of thing. Long haul, though. Bit of a navigation nightmare. What are the Yanks offering?
All will be revealed in due course. Now, gentlemen, I think we can get on with the business of administering these tango-dancing pirates an old-fashioned ass-kicking. God save the Queen!
God save the Queen!
Pilot to navigator. Plot course for final bomb run. Right-o, skipper. Steer 340. Target plotted 115.3 nautical miles.
Crikey, Colin, I'm impressed. You normally can't find your way from the mess to the briefing room without two compasses and written instructions.
Ah, well, that's Google Earth, skipper. Bloody marvellous. Just type in Blighty to Malvinas and it works out the best route for you. You taking the piss? Since when have they been called the Malvinas?
Sorry, Skipper. These chaps don't want to offend potentially lucrative export markets, which is why Tibet is part of China, according to Google.
Yes, well, I'll leave Tibet to Richard Gere if he can disengage himself from Shilpa Shetty.
Target 11 nautical miles. 5 seconds to bomb release.
Yes, I can see the strip. Lit up like a bulb testing factory. Let him have it.
Bombs gone. Bingo! Direct hit on airstrip.
Well, Galtieri, you can stick that up your junta. Colin, plot a course for ascension. The beers are on me.
Over now to Chad Buckheimer in London's sun-kissed, flower-filled spring avenues for your take on the end of the Blair presidency. Chad, how's the mood on the street?
Surprisingly upbeat, Claire. Almost as if a change of prime minister were something that happened every 5 or 10 years. Excuse me, sir. Tony Blair. What's his time in office meant to you?
Oh, terrific. Bought a townhouse for Tuppence Ha'penny back in 1997 and sold it last week for £17 million. Mind you, my son just bought a cardboard box in Leytonstone for £250,000, and with his 50-year mortgage, he'll still be paying interest when his kids reach retirement age. Still, no signs of the market slowing down, eh?
Don't talk to me about Tony Bloody Blair, young man. I didn't fight the Jerrys to have me biometrics slapped on some ID card and then get charged for the privilege. War on terror, my arse. Just a load of bleeding nonsense about binary liquid explosives used to justify clamping down on your civil liberties. My Sid was right about that David Blunkett. He says, David Blunkett, bollocks.
Hello. Care to give us your thoughts on Tony Blair?
Blair? Three words. Fox hunting ban. There used to be 1.5 million farriers in Britain who relied entirely on reshoeing fox hunting horses for their livelihood. And you know, you can't just stick a farrier in front of a laptop and tell him, righto, Wurzel, you're a stock market trader now. No, a bullet in the back of the head was the only humane thing to do. It makes me weep just to think about the farriers' kiddies. 3 million little orphans crying. Why did that nasty Mr. Blair kill my daddy?
Tony Blair, when I was 7, my mum said, like, the world with the increased economic outlook under a new socialist government, for I could have, like, a pair of them Nike Airburst Jordans, like what the LA gangs were icing each other for. And 10 years later, I have exactly no Airburst Jordans whatsoever. And look at these Adidas. What do I look like? Some kind of minger who's gonna put up with white trash Adidas? Tony Blair.
Repent, ye, I say! Repent! For the Antichrist cometh, and his name is Gordo, and by his number so shall you know the beast, and the number is number 10 Downing Street. Repent!
Gordon Brown, the Antichrist? Perhaps a little strong.
Oh, it's you again. Oh, who cares? I've got a 3-day contract with the Conservatives to spread the gospel according to Cameron, and part of the deal is that I have to hug any hoodie I see. And one of the little f**ks has only gone and swiped my iPod while I'm giving him some Tory love, so if it's all the same to you, I think I'll vote for the Friends of Dorothy next time around and the rest of them can just piss off.
Well, Claire, it looks like Blair has left his mark. Although it may take more than ozone-boosted triple-action stain remover to scour it from the British consciousness. Back now to the South Atlantic, where HMS Iron Lady is about to make her mark on history.
This is the captain. Make to Admiralty. Position 50, 49, 10 south, 55, 46, 23 west. Holding position. Nothing to report.
Aye, sir.
Sir, Miss Gates, how's our new system shaping up?
Well, sir, despite the manufacturer's promise to seamlessly meld the ship's functions for an improved battlefield experience and increased destructive throughput, it's actually a bit of a pain in the backside.
Oh, dear.
Quite so, sir. We've been trying to plug and play the ship's radar into the missile defence programme for 2 days without much success. Right now the bloody thing's frozen while it critically patches itself against buffer overflow menaces, and a glitch in the automated Vittles spreadsheet program means that before leaving Portsmouth we only took on board water for 2 weeks, but have enough tinned guavas to feed the entire Navy for a year.
Yes, I've heard ominous guava-based rumblings of discontent among the hands. Had to throw one of the stokers into the brig for dark mutterings about the benefits of Umbongo Linux. Doesn't do much for morale. Can you get it sorted before we get in range of the Argentine aircraft?
We already are in range, sir. And right now, the only thing standing between us and an Exocet is Prince Andrew and his chopper.
Thank God for the Royal Rotors.
Ops to Captain. Unidentified plot Baron 2 East. Speed 600 knots. Range 40 nautical miles.
All hands to action stations. Steer 270. Engage Seawolf.
It's now good, sir. The system's...
Hot! It looks like you're trying to avoid being hit by a sea-skimming missile. If you like, Windows for Warships can show you a drop-down list of missiles.
Range 10 nautical miles.
Gates, we have about 5 seconds to... What the hell has happened?
That, sir, is the legendary Microsoft blue screen of death.
This is the Captain. Make to Admiralty. Missile impact at 13:12 hours. Report follows.
All hands abandon ship.
Well, Miss Gates, I think you should probably put on your life jacket and make our way to the emergency station.
I'd love to, sir, but as soon as you sounded general quarters, the computer system automatically locked all of the watertight bulkheads. So unless I can find the backup system recovery disk...
This is the Captain. Make to Admiralty. Imminent possibility of downward realignment of vessel into a subaquatic mode. Advise urgent implementation of Umbongo Linux.
I don't have to tell you, gentlemen, that the situation is serious. Very serious. Mr. Knott, if you would.
As of 0800 this morning, we have lost around 80% of our task force capability. HMS Iron Lady was hit by an Exocet and later sank. Ditto, Her Majesty's warship, Princess Diana. Snuffed out like a candle in the wind, if you will. Plus, 7 other destroyers and miscellaneous logistical vessels, including the supply ship Elton John, which was, at the time, hosting 500 members of Tupara and carrying the expedition's entire consignment of party poppers. The cause, in every case, was some form of software malfunction, except on HMS Mark Thatcher, where the duty sysadmins was playing Paris-Dakar Rally on the PlayStation and had just popped out to the galley for a pizza when the ship disappeared.
Excellent. Air Vice Marshal?
Well, bloody good show by our chaps. Apart from the mix-up about the target. Seems this damned ghoul air thing went into a bit of a blue funk and... Well, they say it'll take about 3 weeks or so to repair Guernsey's main runway... Meanwhile, the peripheral damage was limited to the sinking of Ted Heath's yacht in St. Peterport, although I'm told he was fully insured.
Anything else?
About a week ago, we managed to get a combined party of SAS and SBS onto West Falkland. But it all went a bit tits up when their GPS system directed them off a cliff, rather than to the Argentine stronghold at Goose Green.
Quite. Not to mention the small matter of our entire Sea Harrier capability having been sold on eBay as part of an overzealous Whitehall cost-cutting exercise, plus half of next year's defence budget now lying in a Lagos bank account because Francis Pym fell for some get-rich-quick scheme involving a certain Mariam Abacha and a suitcase full of diamonds from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Which means we cannot right now settle this rather large bill for Windows for Warships licenses. Which in turn means that we may have to cede Tristram da Cunha to the Microsoft Corporation in lieu of payment. Does anyone have any positive suggestions as to how we might extricate ourselves from this disaster?
Well, old boy, here's the plan. We play for time, give them Tristram da Cunha, then secretly make the move to Umbongo Linux, then bomb Redmond before sending in the Gurkhas to cut their bloody ears off.
I like the cut of your jib. And the Falklands?
I've just heard from a chap called Warwick at Reading University, who says that within 3 months he can deliver a clone army of cybernetically enhanced Norman Tibbetts, controlled via cranial implant over the GPS satellite network. A merciless horde of killing machines programmed to detect the scent of corned beef from 3 miles and destroy its source without pity.
Chesworth, unleash your cyber Tibbetts and prepare to rejoice. God save the Queen.
God save the Queen.
Huzzah!
Huzzah indeed. Well, that's a triumphant conclusion to this special anniversary RTFM, and there's just time for me to say that TonyBlair.com, goodoldtone.co.uk, and BlairPM.eu were earlier today made available for any half-decent offer in excess of a fiver. Surfers looking to peruse BlairLegacy.org, meanwhile, are currently getting a rather disappointing page-under-construction snub, while victoryinirak.com seems to have been suspended indefinitely with a 666, this war appears to have been lost, error message. And if you're in the mood for a revelation, pop down to gordonisgod.co.uk, which is provocatively proclaiming, the second coming is nigh, you'll know when you've been gordoed. Happy surfing. Bye.